Open up your Bibles with me this morning, though, as we get into our teaching. And while you're turning there, I'll mention something on this Wednesday night, looking at a prophetic look at the seven feasts of Israel. It's not just to study the seven feasts of Israel and what they could mean to us and to know what's going on our calendar when these various things come up, but these seven feasts, we're told in the Bible, are God's feasts. They belong to Him, but He assigned them to Israel. But there's a prophecy in each and every one of them that has been fulfilled. As a matter of fact, most of them pertain to Christ. But the one we're going to look at this week pertains to the church. When Christ said that He would pour out His Spirit upon His church. And so we'll be looking at that called the Feast of Weeks and its prophetic viewpoint and its fulfillment this Wednesday. So you can join us in that. We have a couple of birthday celebrations also. Mark Brownrigg upcoming and Phyllis. We actually had birthday celebration on Wednesday night, so all birthdays were taken care of at that time. And so, not really, but the men's breakfast yesterday was awesome. I got pictures of it while they were there, and we had some people that were new to that, and it was a real blessing, and they encouraged the lady that works over there and serves monthly our men as they go over there for the men's breakfast. Now, you should have found Ephesians chapter 3 already. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading here this morning at verse 13, and I'm going to read it through verse 19 for our starting position here this morning. Verse 13 through 19 of Ephesians chapter 3. And he says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Father God, this morning we pray that your word would be anointed to our life. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive all that your word reveals today for your glory. Guide us into all truth by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And church, if you agree, say amen. So I've titled this theme as we've been going through Ephesians, the third chapter, is spiritual living and finding hope. And people find hope in various ways. In fact, not always in the ways that it's a genuine hope. But there is a real and genuine hope that we should have, and Paul highlights that a lot in chapter 3. So far in what we've covered, this morning being the fourth part in this little series here, we've talked about what God has done for our past in verses 1 through 13. And then what God is doing for us now, we covered that A, B, and C last week, but we actually pick up on another part of it today. And it comes out of this key verse that Paul says, as he was just falling down on his knees, from whom the whole family, that means every believer, he says in heaven, those who've gone on ahead, and on earth, those that are present today. And he says all believers of the past, the present, and even those future ones. He says he falls down on his knees because we're all named in Christ. But whatever Paul suffered, he says, please don't lose heart, it says in the Living Translation, because of my trials here. And you know, sometimes it's quite easy to lose heart over the various trials and circumstances that we face in life. But there are six petitions that Paul will pray in this prayer, in these verses. We've been going through them one at a time. And so far we've covered the first one, which was to be strengthened by His power in the inner man at verse 16. Secondly, the request was for us to dwell in our hearts by faith in verse 17. Thirdly, the request was for us to be rooted and grounded in love in verse 17. And then the fourth was to apprehend, to grasp, and understand spiritual things. And that's where we're at this morning. So as we're at this section this morning, I just want you to notice what Paul is telling us here in verse 18. He says that you may be able to comprehend. That means to grab a hold, comprehend, and with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height. So he begins right here. Now, the word comprehend, it says in the New King James, or apprehend in another translation. Actually, they both come from one Greek word, which literally means to take eagerly, to seize, to possess, to apprehend. In fact, the English words comprehend and apprehend both stem from one Latin word, which actually means to grasp a hold and hang on to it, something to handle and to put into our life. But a root word that comes out of that speaks of a monkey that actually their tail, where they grab a hold of a tree or a branch and hang on. Now, there is different ways we can look at hanging on. Here is an example. Now, if you would have been to Israel with us, you would have seen possibly one of the ibex. There is a certain goat, a mountain goat, and that one's hanging on, and the one behind it as well. But you may not be able to see it in that slide, but he's got his tongue out, and he's licking the rocks. And that puts a whole new meaning to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, he's thinking of the rocks, obviously, but what he's looking for is salt. And so, consequently, it reminds me of those different experiences. You can actually, if you could see them up close, the ibex are a very unusual goat. And someday when we go back to Israel, a plan that you would probably be able to get to see this even more than last time because of some of the plans I'm working on. But it means an extreme holding on. And yet in our text, it means to grasp, to lay hold, but it means by the mind to comprehend. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of reminded in this picture of boot camp many years ago in the Marine Corps, and they told us, the DI yelled at us a lot, but he'd say, hold on to the bar. Well, 80-some guys hanging onto a bar that would only fit 20 pair of hands was very difficult. So as you might be there holding on, there would be five guys holding on you. And you would fall down, then we would have to do it again and again and again. Thanks be to God that he doesn't make us start all over. But he wants us to apprehend. He wants us to comprehend. In fact, this fourth request is extremely important because what it refers to is to grasp and understand spiritual things, to lay hold of it with the mind and with the heart to comprehend. So what are we to comprehend, Paul? He says that we may be able, in verse 18, to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. Well, what has he told us so far? Well, first of all, to comprehend and lay hold of the great blessings of God that he spoke in verses 3 through 14 of chapter 1. But also the knowledge and the power of God in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. And then also in chapter 2, the mercy and the grace of God. And then also in chapter 2, in verses 11 through 18, the reconciliation and the peace that has been brought to us by God. And then in verses 19 through 22 of Ephesians, the church and what it really is to God. And then lastly, in verses 1 through 13 of Ephesians 3, the church, the great mystery of God. And he wants us to lay hold of that, to understand it. Why is that? Because God had a plan in the future. He's got a plan now. And you and I are part of that plan. And the recognition is he does have something that he's doing in our life. And we are a part of his family. Thanks be to God. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, we are part of his family. Yes, and God has done so much for us, more that it cannot even be measured. In fact, believers are to pray and seek God to increase their understanding and the understanding of all of the saints. As a matter of fact, all believers must comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what God has done for them. And you know something, when we get a hold of that, when we begin to understand it, all of a sudden it takes on a new power in our life. we realize this isn't just a matter of going to church. This is a matter of fulfilling what God has intended for our life. And that is that we would truly become all that He has planned for us. In fact, when we gather together as the church family, we're reminding ourselves that this is all part of God's plan. You see, the Bible says that the church belongs to Jesus Christ, and we are a part of that family. So turn to the person next to you and say, we're family. Yes, but also we should understand, as Paul says, to comprehend that, to apprehend that. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In fact, in Proverbs 8, 14, it says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. And so in all those things, the Lord speaks of what He has, but what He's given to you and I. He's given to us strength and understanding. Peter, could you get me that water, please? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, would you please turn there? And there's another passage that Paul spoke something similar of this. Thank you. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and look with me at verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. And it begins to explain it. I'll read it here. Thank you. My voice was drying up there. In verse 9 of chapter 2, he says, but as it is written, Paul said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Can you say amen to that? But then look with me at the next verse. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, which is indwelling in us, inferred as well. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The word know there comes from a word meaning to experience. Paul's going to use that word also in our text a couple of times, but he's referring to when you experience the things of God, then you begin to understand. And there are sometimes in our life we've had to go through something, or maybe He reached out into the depths of where we were and pulled us out of that, and yet we experienced His love. We experienced His mercy. But we also can experience that understanding of Him. And the closer we get to Him, the stronger we become. And in that relationship, we're also told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, consider what I said, Paul said, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Look at this translation of the Amplified Bible of verse 18. He says that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and to grasp, to grab a hold, to stand in places that most people would look at you and go, how could you do that? Just like I look at those goats and I go, how could they ever do that? God made them an interesting creature, all right. And I have several other pictures, which I'm not going to show you, but I love it just to study what these goats can do. And sometimes goats can be stubborn. And sometimes goats need to have a little bit of characterization changes in their life, but God made them that way. That's why the Bible doesn't call us goats. The Bible calls us sheep. And yet the sheep lead often the goats. So where are we being led today? I pray that we're grabbing a hold and we're apprehending, we're grasping with a full mental thought of what God has done. So He says to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? In other words, all four aspects of it, to apprehend, to grasp. Those words take us deeper to actually the fifth request that Paul gives. So let's turn back there in our text this morning. And first of all, in verse 18 again, that we may be able to apprehend or comprehend with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. And so that particular request is to grab a hold of everything that God has for us, every corner of it. should be grabbed a hold. And of course, that's our prayer. And as I've shared with you, all of these six prayer requests are prayers that Paul is making, but he's been making it for you in that day. But we also should be making it for one another even today. Amen? So then we get to the fifth one. What is the fifth request? What God is doing for us now to apprehend, and then he speaks in verse 19, to have the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ. Would you say to know the love of Christ? And so it means to lay hold of that. In fact, the expanse of God's love, he wants us to live in all four of those dimensions in his love, to know it by experience. So he uses the word know here, which I told you a moment ago. It's coming from the Greek, it means gnosko, and it means literally to experience it. Now, I know many of us have experienced God's love in different ways. But when you get to the point in your life where you're so desperate and there's no other answer, when you've come to a position in your life, you're going, God, I'm praying, I'm thinking, I'm trusting, I'm doing everything, I know what you say. There's one thing that perhaps maybe you need to strengthen yourself with, and that is to know the love of Christ, to really grasp that love for us. When God gave the land to Abraham, he told him to walk through the land to the length of it and the breadth of it, in Genesis 13, 17. And Abraham had to step out in faith and claim his inheritance. And God told him to walk it, to experience it, to go through it. And sometimes in our life, the Bible also gives to us this instruction and makes it real to us in Ephesians 5, 2, where it tells us, if you'll notice there, he says in verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I believe what Paul is referring to here is to grab a hold, to hang on to what? God's love for us. Through every experience we go through, today we have an inheritance in four dimensions: the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. His fourth dimension is love. In fact, Paul's concern is that we would lay hold of that expanse of God's love in our life. Look with me at the Amplified Translation. And it says here that you may really come to know, to practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. In other words, it's greater than any experience you've had based on knowledge, but it's an experience you could have through your daily experience, going through everything that you and I go through. So the Bible refers to this, as a matter of fact, of his cross. In fact, the early church took that very description of love as a sign of the cross. What Paul describes by the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, the early church took that as a sign of the cross. The breadth and the length stood for the crossbar on which the arms of Jesus were nailed. And when you look at a cross and you see that vertical relationship, but you see that horizontal bar. And yet, what many of the early church spoke about was that that width is what the arms of Jesus were nailed to. And then you take the vertical pole there, the height and the depth. It stood for the vertical piece to which his legs were nailed, and which his head was looking out upon his loved ones at that point at the cross. But in fact, it's an appropriate image because nowhere is the love of Christ more clearly seen at the cross, what Jesus did for us and what he's doing for us. Dr. W.A. Criswell said, using John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." And he broke that down. He says, "For God so loved the world," that's the breath. He included you, he included me, he included believers of all age, that he gave his Son. And of course, his Son was nailed to that cross. The length of it, he sent Jesus to die for you, that we should not perish. And so when I look at that, how far did he have to reach out to reach me? A long ways. As a matter of fact, I began to reflect on this the other day more and more, thinking about what did God have to do to get my attention? It wasn't that I was a seeker at that time to know God more. As a matter of fact, I rebelled against God. I was trying to figure out how far away I could get from him. You see, I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor for some time in my life when I was a part of the family. But then I joined the Marine Corps and went to Vietnam. And this whole time when I was in Vietnam, I remember those times I was trying to resist God. But often he would speak to me, even in the middle of the night. And there were times where I would get up and I would just go out walking and saying, I don't care what happens to me, but God, I'm not going to follow you. Well, look what happened. Guess who's following God? As a matter of fact, it would take a few years in my life after I came home from Vietnam, through my wife and her family's devotion to God, although it was in the Catholic Church, and I became a Catholic for a while during that time. I didn't know a whole lot about my faith in God, but it wasn't long before I realized love. And the love I realized came from that family, because that family lived what really love is. And their love and devotion for God was very real. But then my mother-in-law accepted Christ, my wife accepted Christ, and then they all began to pray for me. And I was having a hard time accepting Christ because it meant to surrender, it meant to yield. As a matter of fact, there's a man in church here this morning, a businessman, and I remember him not too long ago. He says, oh, I just keep getting the messages to submit to Christ, to surrender to Christ. Yes, that is part of it. So finally, on that day, I submitted my life to Jesus Christ after an experience that I had gone through. I was a contractor at that time, and I wasn't living my life correctly as I should, as a new dad and as a husband, and as a man that's supposed to know God. And then I turned my life over to Jesus Christ, and I gave it all to him one night in the middle of the night when I heard his voice calling, and I responded. But what did I realize? His love. And we had a little Bible study we were going to, although the gentleman that taught it was somebody that my wife and I knew from another church, but he really had a love for God. And he went to ministry school at the same time as I did, and then through that relationship, we both decided to start Calvary Chapel. But one night before this all happened, I was in this prayer group with this church. I'm not going to mention the name of it. And all of a sudden, the power of God's Spirit came upon my life. Now, I had been born again, but I didn't know about this other experience. And as I did, I remember just crying and weeping. I couldn't control it. And then I just literally began to pray out loud, and I scared everybody in the room, including my wife, because I was praying in a language I never learned. And my wife and others ran upstairs of that house and thought, what has happened to Dave? But there was a man who began to interpret, because if you're going to pray in a public way in an unknown tongue, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, it must be interpreted. So a man was there, and he interpreted what I said. And it was all about the love of God that I experienced at the cross. And the cross paid it all. And yet, you know that through your own experience, perhaps, but in my life, it was dramatic. And I just gave everything to God, and I was crying out, but I described the cross in detail. Now, could I do that today as well as I did it then? No. Because you might say that my mind was disengaged with what my heart was doing, and my heart really saw God. It would come later on in my life that I was in the ministry, and I had actually a heart attack. When I had the heart attack, and I remember that point in time as I came to in the hospital room, that God had shown me through that heart attack how he had reached into my heart and how he had healed my heart. Not physically at that point, although he did, but he had healed my heart from my whole past. I don't know about you this morning. Maybe you got some things in your heart that need to be healed. Maybe there's some circumstances in your life that you really need to get fixed. Paul had that very experience. You see, as you know, he was a very religious man, but yet he was a Jew. He didn't have the understanding of Christ, but his life was touched when Stephen, the first martyr of the church, while Paul was standing there holding the clothes of some of those, he listened to this man named Stephen give the realization of a relationship with God. It wouldn't be long after that that Paul would get knocked off of his horse and finally learned that Jesus Christ was alive. And he started following God that no matter what it cost him. So now we're listening to the depth in the heart of a man who truly has had an experience with God. And so when he says in verse 19, to know, he means to know by experience. Do you know that this morning? Have you experienced that this morning, whether you're online or present? And you say, well, yes, I did. I accepted Christ as my Savior. But yet we will go on, we will, and experience more and more of that love of Christ. And so he describes it in all aspects, the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. I can't begin to wrap a hold of everything, what he's saying here, but the breadth means wide enough to cover all peoples, nations, Jews and Gentiles, slave or free, male or female, everyone God reaches out to. Amen? And it doesn't matter what your language is or where you came from, your origin. All those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's reached out to you. And through his love, he brought us into that relationship. So we are one in Christ. But the length, oh, that was expressed from eternity past. In fact, in Ephesians 1:4, to eternity future. Look at Ephesians 1:4 with me. And what Paul tells us here at the beginning in verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what? Love, his love, and our love for him. But then he goes on in chapter 2, verse 7, if you'll notice that, he says that in the ages to come that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So thanks be to God for his kindness. The other day I was just praying as I was out walking the dog. I kind of do that a lot. And when I'm not walking the dog a lot, but when I'm walking the dog, I usually take the time to pray. And as I'm doing it, and the dog is dragging me all over the place, she knows where she wants to go, I just follow. But as I was praying, I says, God, your kindness is overwhelming to my life. You're so kind to me, and I thank you for all of your kindness. But then I began to realize the height. In fact, when it reaches to the various heavens and stars, as I was out the other night, I'm looking up and I go, God, I know you're out there. But you're also present. You're present with me always. Even in the height, you reach out to me. And the depth, the lowest experience that I could relate to, I can't share with you, but I've had a lot of them. But at this moment, I realize that even in the lowest of all of our experience, God reaches out to you and I, and he's doing that today. So Paul's saying, to know the love of Christ. Do you know it by experience? In fact, he says it'll pass all knowledge, no matter what you think, but that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It is essential that we just not know God because of his grace, but nothing can separate us from the love of God, we're told in Romans chapter 8. When we realize the full dimensions of his love for us and through us, we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. And so the Amplified says that you may really come to know. So we have a knowledge portion that comes to our life, and yet, thanks be to God, it's greater than any experience, so it surpasses that. In fact, there is the reality of a poem that was said by a Jewish individual. He wrote this poem in 1917, and it's called The Love of God. His name was F.M. Lehman. And yet, he said, could we be with ink, fill the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, through stretch from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever endure. The saints and angels sing this song. And yet it was put to music actually by his daughter, so that we may know or come to know that love of Christ. So the breadth, referring to the width, the arms of Christ reach out around the world. And as the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Yes, that includes all of us, and thanks be to God, we are. Amen. How many of you know the Lord this morning as your personal Lord and Savior? Okay, that door was open to you, and you went through it. Secondly, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37, he says, "Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." So no matter what you've done, what your past, what your circumstances are, and at the time in my life when I was in Vietnam, I just didn't think I could ever be saved. But thanks be to God, God reached out to me, and he never let go. The length of it, well, the length of that love begins in everlasting, eternally. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love." In fact, he goes on to say, "I have drawn you as well." So he drew us in, and he loves us with an everlasting love. So the width and the length, well, eternity and present is all part of this reality. The depth, well, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. In fact, I would like you to look at Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 19 as a part of explaining that. So look with me at Romans chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, once again, the Apostle Paul speaking of his experience in chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. And he says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." This is what Paul is saying that the world apart from God is doing. But he says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." And he says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified." So no matter how good we think we are in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And so what he says is it's not according to what we've accomplished or what we've done. In Philippians 2:8, he says, "To be found in him as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." So the depth, the height, well, that reaches right into your life and mine. In fact, in 1 John 3:3, it says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him." And praise be to God. Why? For we shall see him as he is. And so then he gives not only that request, but the sixth request this morning. So let's go back to our text this morning. And as he says here in verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend the fourth request, with all the saints, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. The fifth and the sixth requests are in verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, beyond our own knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, filled completely with him. And so now that is the sixth request, as to know and be filled with the fullness of God. So this morning, as we look at this, I want you to see the Amplified translation. He says that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That is, you may have the richest measure of that divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. I love the extra words that the Amplified gives to us. So this morning, as we've covered last week a little bit about the Holy Spirit with us in John 14, and Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be not only with us, but in us. And we covered that when he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to go to Acts chapter 1 with me this morning, because here in Acts chapter 1, we see another aspect of the Holy Spirit that I believe is a part of what Jesus wants for you and I and for the church. In Acts chapter 1, look with me at the verses that are in red, if you have that kind of Bible, that when Jesus speaks here, look with me at verse 5, starting there. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now notice it's in red. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his early followers, his early believers. And the word baptized sometimes confuses people, because we know, well, I've been baptized in water, Pastor. No, he's being talking about here being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It means you being submerged into the Holy Spirit. It couldn't be any plainer than that. And he says, with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. They thought, okay, this power that's going to come, will that free us from our oppression? And that's not what he's talking about. In verse 8, he tells us plainly what he's talking about. He says, but you shall receive power. Would you say power? When the Holy Spirit has come, how? Upon you. Is that what it says? Yeah, it's not with you, not in you, but upon you. And this refers back to when he talked about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to Samaria and to the end of the world. And literally, this is what he commissioned his church with. And he hasn't changed it yet. The problem is, a lot of people have had the Holy Spirit with them, convicting them, and they haven't responded. They haven't given their life to Jesus Christ. But I pray if you're hearing today and you don't have that solidified and it's not real to you, that you would make that decision today. But there's a second part. To have the Holy Spirit with you is one part, but to have the Holy Spirit in you when you're born again. But Jesus is talking about something else. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of God upon you. In fact, he goes on to explain later on in the book of Acts how there were those who were baptized in water. If you'll look with me at Acts chapter 19, and Paul here is speaking in Corinth, and he comes to, look at chapter 19, verse 1, I'll just read it. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to where? Ephesus, the same area that we're studying in, and finding some disciples or followers. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, when they believed, were they sealed? Did they receive the Holy Spirit? Did they receive all of it? So they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, unto them, what were you baptized? Were you baptized in water? And they said, well, yes, John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. It says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they got the water baptism taken care of. We're not going to do that today, but I'm speaking to you about another part. We are going to have a baptism upcoming, but look with me at verse 6. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Would you say upon them? And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And so this morning, I want to say to you, and Paul will go on, it tells us he spent about 3 years there in Ephesus. But one of the things he told them was that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit upon their life. So the request is to be filled. The word filled that I'm mentioning here that comes back to our text here this morning in this prayer that he's speaking of in verse 19. He says, filled with all the fullness. Would you say fullness? Of God. So how can that be? He comes and dwells in our life, right? But he says the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of what God is doing. I believe he's including the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as he spoke to those disciples in Corinth, and he's speaking now to the believers, and he's praying for them. And yet I believe he's praying for you and I this morning. So his sixth request is a request for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Have we received that in our life? So the first request is to be strengthened by his power. Secondly, the second request is to dwell in our hearts by faith. Third request is to be rooted and grounded in love. Fourth request is to apprehend, to grasp and understand all spiritual things. And fifthly, is to know the love of Christ. And sixthly, which we're looking at right now, is the request to be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you filled with all the fullness of God? Oh, Pastor, I know I'm saved. Great. Praise be to the Lord. That is a gift of God. You didn't earn it or deserve it. God gave it to you and I. Thanks be to God. But then you say, well, then I'm sealed. I got the Holy Spirit in me. Yes. The question is, have you gone ahead and become the believer who has the fullness of God with the Holy Spirit upon you? If you haven't been baptized, or I won't use that word because it confuses people, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit upon your life, you need to do that today. Why? Because it says, as Jesus said to do it, he told his disciples to do this, and he says so that they could be his witnesses in all the world. There's one thing I believe we're missing today in a lot of people's lives that know the Lord, and that is the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I'm afraid what's going to happen. You shouldn't be afraid. If Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, what would you fear today? As a matter of fact, when that experience happened to me, and you say, well, do I have to speak in tongues? No. But you will get the power of God. Yes. And that power of God is to fill your life to be his witness. This morning, I've purposely closed this part. I'm not going to finish that sixth request till next week, God willing. But we need to fulfill this fullness of what we have. Father God, I pray for every person in this place today and those online, that you, Lord God, told the early disciples to go wait, to tarry, to spend that time to really ask themselves, have they received the fullness of God? Have they received the power of the Holy Spirit upon them? And if they haven't, they need to. And I pray, Lord God, you would speak to their hearts this morning, and that you would convince them, because it is your gift, and it opens up the doorway to all your gifts of the Spirit. God, may we have all of it for your glory, in Jesus' name. Church, if you agree, say amen.